If we come to the place where we don't understand, or where we understand the importance of what God has done, then we will come together and know that there's power in that. The Bible says where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst. Jesus said that. You know, there's a reason he said two or three. Because it takes the body coming together for the body to be the body. And that's the way Jesus wanted it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I ain't going to re-preach last week's message. Amen. And now that we're all fired up, we can continue on with what the regular scheduled programming. Amen. Praise the Lord. Today's message is called Effective Meditation. Praise the Lord. You know, people, we have to roll with it, but, you know, with technology, there's always opportunities for it to fail. Amen? Because it's made by man. It's not made by God. Amen? They get better and better at it, but they still don't get it perfect, and that's okay. Praise the Lord. Brother, can you bring me down just a hair? Because I was just a little bit loud in my ears up here. Praise God. So effective meditation. Praise God. Meditation is a very, very important concept. Now, the world has their ideas of meditation. I'm not talking about sitting cross-legged with incense burning, with your hands going like this. You know, I'm not talking about that kind of meditation. That meditation, you know, some people do that kind of meditation. That's for fools. In reality, that kind of meditation, if you do that kind of meditation, just scrap it and get into the Word and do what the Word's meditation is, and you'll actually get help. But that other kind of New Age meditation, that doesn't work. That's all based in lies from the devil. But the meditation that the Bible talks about is in the Word. We are to meditate on the Word and through the Word, amen? And we're going to see all about what meditation is, and we're going to understand the importance of it. You know, there's a question often that comes up, why do people fail? Why do Christians fail? And it isn't because God fails. If you see a Christian who was once doing really good and now they're not doing so good, the only reason that they're not doing good is because they stopped doing the Word. It has nothing to do with God's hand. God's given us everything for us to succeed. But people choose. And see, God's also given us free will. So many people, I know, so many Christians know this. They know that God's given us free will, but for some reason, they still want to blame God when things don't go right. You know, I watch the world's problems all the time. I see news. I see things on Facebook. I see things people post and things people talk about. And people's issues always, always, always come down to the same thing, and that's an unrenewed mind. It means they haven't gotten to the Word. They haven't thought about things right. They aren't thinking in the right lane. See, an unrenewed mind will always take people into the place where the realm of the devil. It takes people out of the will of God. And see, it's so important that we think on the right things. Amen? If we're not thinking on the right things, we're not going to have the right outcomes. And that's why somebody who can start off really good, and they can start off in the faith really excited, and after, you know, the Bible says that the devil comes for the Word. He comes for the Word. He comes to steal the Word out of those who hear it. So if you come to church, if you just come to church, if you just started coming to church, or maybe you've been here for 20 years, it doesn't matter, not here for 20 years, but in church for 20 years, it doesn't matter, because the devil is still going to come try to rob the truth from you. And how will he do that? Well, he gets you thinking opposite of what the Word says. Excuse me. And knowing that, we have to be effective. We can be effective in beating him and overcoming if we take heed to these things. But we have to take heed according to the Word. We have to understand that the Word of God is not suggestions. This is not a bunch of suggestions. I'm not preaching my opinion up here. You know, there have been people that have said that and say, oh, that's your interpretation. No, there's no such thing as interpreting the Word of God. I say this all the time, and any other manual, actually, I was talking to my sister, Trish. I think she's serving today. Praise the Lord. She's here. I saw her, though. But I was talking to my sister, Trish, this week, and I said, you know, she does hair, you know, and does people's hair all fancy and all that kind of good stuff. Amen. But I said, if somebody come into your salon and they get their hair done, say they're going to go for a wedding, and they come in and they get their hair done, and you do it, you spend 2 hours on their hair just making it just perfect. You spray it and you form it and you do all the things that people do with hair, they're making it pretty, amen? And you get it just perfect, and they go outside, and I was telling her, because the first thing I do when I get my hair cut up there is I go outside and I go like that, because I get all the loose little hairs out, because they itch me, you know what I mean? And so, but I don't have to worry, because they haven't really done my hair. They just cut it nice. Amen. But if you did that, if the same lady who just got her hair done for a wedding or whatever and came out with that beautiful hairdo and did the same thing, yeah, then can you blame the one who did the hair and say, well, you didn't do it good enough? Come on, Trish, you didn't put the enough bobby pins in there. You didn't do enough hairspray. You didn't put enough gel in. No, you can't say that. But people do that with God all the time. If people start with God, and then they walk away, and then they wonder why, and people wonder why. They say, well, see, it must not have worked. No, God works every time, all the time, if you work with him. But if you don't work with him, if you don't do the things, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do my command. You do what I say. If you don't do what he says, you know, there's a scripture, praise the Lord. I'm going to see if I can try to remember it. But there's a scripture that says the one who loves him is the one who prospers. You know, say the one who, it's in Psalms, I can't remember exactly where it is, but the one who loves him is the one who prospers. If you can say that you're a Christian, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you prosper. Listen, there's lots of Christians that don't prosper. There's lots of Christians that believe God. It said the ones that love me will prosper. Well, who are the ones that love him? The ones who do his word. The ones that do what he says. So if you hear the word of God and you reject it, and you say, well, that's not for me, then you don't love God. That's as simple as it is. And if you don't love God, you're not going to prosper in the things that God's got wants you to prosper in. Amen? Praise the Lord. How do you get through things that are tough? It's through your meditation. Meditation is what you think on and what consumes you. What you meditate on is either going to help you win or it's going to make you lose. It's that simple. If you meditate on the word, you will win. You will prosper. If you meditate on the things of life and the things of the world, some people don't like that we're such a positive group of Christians. You should be. If you go to this church and I ever hear that you're not positive, dear Jesus, don't let me hear that. Because you know something? That's a kick in the face to somebody who stands up here every week and toils with people and goes through things. To hear the people that are taught the word go out and act like fools, say dumb things. No, your life isn't bad. Your life is good, and it's getting better. And if you would meditate on that, you would see the truth of that. But see, what people do is they meditate on the bad things. The world is used to meditating on the bad things. I got a sick body. I'm going to think about that. I'm going to talk about that. This is what I'm going to share. This is all I'm going to do. This. This is going on. Hallelujah. This is the way people are. Oh, I don't know how we're going to do it this month. The bills are getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't know how we're going to see. They're all meditating on the wrong thing. We need to meditate on the truth if we want the truth to work for us. It will not work separate. We have to do things. Listen, it is not up to interpretation. It is up to God's design. Nobody would get into a car and say, you know, this. I'm just going to do this my way. I'm going to sit in the car, and I'm not going to even put that key in there. I'm just going to command it to start. It ain't going to start no matter how much you command it. Why? Because that's not the way it's designed. And the same thing with the word. What happens is when people say it's up to interpretation or that's just your interpretation, those are people who don't spend time in the word. They don't understand it. They don't understand the truth of the word. They don't go to church most of the time. I can tell you that anybody who says those things are people who just don't know. Amen? Praise the Lord. But what you meditate on is what you think on, and it's what consumes you. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be talking about that today. So I want you to turn with me to Psalm. Actually, I'm just going to pull this one up, the first one up, because it's one scripture, and we'll be through it quick. No, you can go ahead and turn to it. What the heck? You brought your Bibles, right? Praise the Lord. It's good to bring your Bibles. We're going to keep hammering on that. You got to get used to the word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Psalm 145:5. Halfway through your Bible. Hallelujah. Psalm 145:5. What was in here? The other scripture. See, this is why I like the Bible, the actual Bible, because as I look at it and see where I highlighted, underlined, all that stuff. You know, somebody once said that if you have a Bible that you can't write in, then you got to throw it out and get yourself one that you can. Yeah. Amen? That's the truth, because God will speak to you through the Word. Yeah. Amen? Psalm 145:5. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Hallelujah. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Why do good Christians sound happy all the time? Because they ain't meditating on what's going around them. Now, I'm not talking about denial. I'm not saying that you sit there and deny, because there's two sides of this. There's fools in Christianity that deny what's going on, in the sense that they just say, well, you know, if they got a sickness in their body, well, I don't have sickness. Well, no, you do have a sickness in your body, but you don't focus on what the sickness does. You focus on what God does. Amen? That's the difference. We don't deny things. We don't lie. We don't say, hey, you know, we don't have enough this month. and then start writing bad checks because you you know, because you believe God's going to supply. That's foolishness. You don't do that. What you do is you believe God for the supply. You focus on his supply in your meditation, in your thoughts. Amen? Praise the Lord. I will meditate. I have that underlined in my my Bible. On your glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Meditate. We're going to get into what meditation means, but meditate on the things that God has done already. You look around. God's created the earth in abundance. You don't have to wonder if he will supply you. You look around and you see God's goodness everywhere. You don't have to wonder if he'll take care of you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord, because our God is good. Praise God. Meditate means to utter out of your mouth. Commune, declare, pray, speak. Hallelujah. That's what meditate means. I took it even a step further, because I that word commune really stuck out to me. You know, we have communion once in a while. We'll be doing it real soon here. Praise the Lord. But, you know, communion is so lost on people, the idea of communion. But to commune is to converse or talk together, usually with profound intensity, intimacy, etc. Interchange thoughts or feelings to be in intimate communication. Weren't we talking about that on Friday night? What fellowship, true fellowship meant intimacy. Praise the Lord with God. It matters how that we understand these things. So to meditate, you could say to meditate means to have intimate communication. It means to utter, it means to speak those things out. What are we to meditate on? We're to meditate on God's glorious works, but most importantly, the Word of God. If we meditate in the Word of God, if we speak the Word of God, if we utter the Word of God, if we say it over and over and over, if these are the things that are coming out of our mouth, there will be no room for bad things to come out. There will be no place for wrong talking or wrong thoughts to come out. Because what will happen is you start speaking the right things, your whole entire life changes. Your thought process changes. When you speak God's truth, I'm not talking about speaking lies. What's God's truth? He said that he will provide all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Praise the Lord, through Christ Jesus. He will supply them. So as we're faithful to what he says to do, we can be sure that he's going to supply us. So when there's lack there, you just meditate on the word. It's coming. It's coming to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now that other scripture that I was talking about that I couldn't remember, it is Psalm 145:20. And I'm just going to share this with you. You can take this down. The Lord preserves all who love him. He preserves all who love him. That's an amazing scripture. You'll see a lot of religious people look at this and say, well, I don't see everybody getting preserved. I don't see everybody preserved by God. All these Christians, a hanky slip, hallelujah. All these Christians that talk about God's goodness and stuff like this, I don't see it. Well, are they doing his word? See, there's the key, because you remember it says all who love him. In John 14:15 says, if you love me, do what I say. Right? See, this is what I love about Scripture. Scripture so beautifully interconnects with one another, other Scriptures. And as you're reading Scripture, as you get used to reading Scripture, as you get it in you, the Lord will connect other Scriptures for you. I was in Psalm, reading Psalm 145:20, and he reminded me of John 14:15. So you know what I did? I wrote it down in my Bible. I wrote it down there. So the next time I run across it, if I don't have the same revelation I did last night, then I'm just going to look at this and say, hey, there it is. Praise the Lord. He dummy proofs it. Amen. Yeah. If you follow him. Isn't God good? Amen. Yeah. So meditate means to utter, to commune, to declare, to pray, to speak. Praise the Lord. You are meditating on what you are speaking. You can tell where a person's meditations are by the words that are coming out of their mouth. You can tell where someone's heart is, what they believe, by the words that are coming out of their mouth. Of course, you can tell it by their actions, but their actions are also proven by the words that are coming out of their mouth. Praise the Lord. Because that is the way it works. We're designed to work that way. Listen, this isn't interpretation. This is what the Word of God says. Praise the Lord. And we're going to see that here today. Amen. And I challenge you to do this. If you've ever thought that, or if you heard people say that, I want to challenge you to do this. I want you to challenge, as I preach the word, as I bring the scriptures to you week in and week out, I want to challenge you to look at it and see if I'm not saying what the word says, or if I'm giving you my interpretation of it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why we break it down. Amen. Glory to God. Now I want you to turn with me. This scripture is so incredibly important. Isaiah 55:11. Now, if you don't know where that is, there's Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, just a little ways after Psalms and Proverbs. Amen. So, Isaiah 55:11. Praise the Lord. God is so good, isn't He? Praise the Lord. You excited for the Word today? You know, the Word, this is what people don't understand. The Word, it's the Word that changes the lives. That's why we focus on the Word in this church, because as we focus on the Word, it changes you. It changes you into what God intended you to be. This is you could say this, this book is the instruction manual for you. So, you know, when you buy a lawn tractor, you buy a lawnmower, you buy a bicycle, you buy just about anything, don't it come with an instruction manual? This is your instruction manual. This is how you work. Praise the Lord. Because you were designed by your glorious Father in heaven. This is how it all works. This is it right here. Isn't that awesome? Like everybody, people will run around and say, well, I don't know. Have you ever lost the instruction manual for something? You thought, man, I sure wish I had that. You know, it's been old. Like I have a table saw. It's real old. And sometimes I wish, man, I wish I had that. But, you know, you can get online and you can look it up and go through a lot of work. But we have these sitting on our shelves. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Our instruction manual right here. We should understand that. Amen? Look at this. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Look at what the Lord says. This is why it's important to speak the word. This whole written word is God's word that has gone forth from his mouth. This isn't the only word, but this is all out of his mouth. Praise the Lord. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not, everybody say shall not, return to me void. That means it's not going to return to him empty. Praise the Lord. But he explains that. But it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. It shall. It shall. This is a very, you know what? We need to, I'm going to tell you what. Next week we're going to have a tattoo artist come in here. And all of us, we're going to have a shorter service. And we're all going to stand in line. And he's going to tattoo this on all of our foreheads. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm telling you right now, it's going to. No, maybe it's not, but this is something that we need to get hold of, people. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me. How does God's word return to me? In your mouth, into him. Your mouth. You return God's word to him when you speak it back into the cosmos. When you open your mouth and you speak out the word of God, it returns to him, and then it accomplishes what he pleases. And it prospers in the thing for which he sent it. Praise the Lord. You know what I wrote in my Bible? Right here, I took a space. I wrote, I prosper in the things for which I am sent. I prosper. Why? Because I follow the Lord. I follow the direction of God. So therefore, everything I do is going to prosper. I prosper in the thing for which I'm sent. What does that mean? Some people will say, well, look, he's just talking about money. I ain't talking at all about money. What I'm talking about is this. I'm talking about when God sends me out to start a church, it's going to prosper. It's going to grow. It means people are going to come in, and it's going to be, see, because only dead things stop growing. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why as you get a little bit older, sometimes you get a little bit heavier, too, because, you know, you still got to grow some. Amen? You know what I mean? You don't want to be done growing yet, because that means you're dead. So that's why, you know, now I'm in my 40s, I'm a little bit heavier than I was. I'm a lot heavier than I was when I was in my 20s. Praise the Lord. I look more like my son, Mark. Amen? This is your future. Yeah, but sometimes I still grow things, you know. I got more hair on my body than I did when I was 20. Praise the Lord. You all wanted to know that, but it's the truth, you know what I'm saying? And because dead things stop growing, amen? We want to keep growing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I prosper in the things for which I am sent. We have to get this knowledge, but we have to meditate on these things. And this is exactly, when we utter the word, when we speak the word, we are meditating on the word. Meditation is that process of when we speak it, we're hearing it. And when we're hearing it, we're thinking it. And when we're thinking it, then we're speaking it. And then when we're speaking it, we're hearing it. And then when we're hearing it, we're thinking it. And then something changes on the inside of us. This is what meditation is. It's to go over and over and over in your mind, toss around and around. And as you do that, praise the Lord, you get all the flavor out of it. You get everything intended. That is the word of God. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall prosper in the thing which I said it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Turn with me to Colossians 3, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Now we're getting in here, Colossians. These are the epistles of Paul, and these are written to the church. These are the epistles, the Pauline epistles, as they call them, the letters to the churches, are the most important parts of the Bible to a Christian. Praise the Lord. Why do I say that? Because it's the truth. This tells us how the church works. This tells us how the church was formed. Tell us why the church was formed, what it's supposed to do, what it's supposed to look like. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what these are all about. It's very important. We have to understand that. If you guys understood, I'm telling you, if people, Christians understood the importance and how amazing this book came together. When you look, if you start researching the history of the Bible and how it all came together, it is unreal. That alone will tell you there's proof that there's God. That alone would. It is unreal how these books came together. Praise the Lord. It is unreal. You know, these were written over a period of like 1,600 years. And yet they go back and forth. They talk about each other over a period of 1,600 years by like 40-some different authors. There's 66 books of the Bible written by 40 different people, most of whom never even knew each other. Isn't that amazing? Hallelujah. But God brought it all together. Amen. And they all point to Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're in Colossians 3. Amen. We're starting in verse 1. Read through verse 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Okay, this is important to understand here. If you were raised with Christ, that means if you have been born again, okay, you're now a Christian. Amen. Then you are to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. This is where our thoughts and our attention should be on. The things which are above. The things where Christ is. Amen? Ephesians, I have this marked down here. Ephesians 2:6 says, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is why we are to seek those things, because we aren't, if you realize that our position of authority, our position of being is not here. We are here. Physically, we're here. But spiritually, our position of being, our rights, our inheritance, all that stuff is seated at the right hand of God with Jesus Christ. See, Christians all the time, they look at things by their own ability. They say, well, I can't do this. You can't do it because you say you can't do it because you're focused on your own ability. You're not focused on God's ability. What you meditate on matters. What you think about matters. If you're thinking about, if you leave here and all you're thinking about is the football game, and then you're thinking about work, and you're thinking about this, and you're thinking about that, but you don't think about God the rest of the week, what you're meditating on is not God. It's not His Word, and you're not going to get the help that you need. Christians don't fail because God fails. They fail because they fail to do what God said to do. See, this is people have this idea that being sold out to God is for ministers or for, you know, church leadership and stuff like that. No, being sold out to God is for every Christian. If you're not sold out to God, then there's a problem. Houston, we have a problem. Amen. Praise the Lord. How do you know you're not sold out? What do you think on? What do you meditate on? What is the meditation of your heart? Where is your mind most of the time? Is it on God? Is it on the things of God? Or is it on your stuff? Is it on your things? Is it on what you want? Is it on everything else that's out there in the world? Is it on what's going on with the kids? Is it what's going on at school? Is it what's going on at the job? Is it what's going on everywhere else? If that's the way you live your life, you do not live your life the way a Christian is supposed to live their life. And that's why you don't have the things that you want from God. Want healing from God, and yet they won't live right. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We said this. My wife said it last week. I'll tell you what. When I got home, I sent out that slick text last week. When I got home and she told me there was 45 people sitting in the service last week, I was ticked. I was ticked. Do you know since June, and I sent out the message, 40% of our church, and I'm not talking about people that got offended and left. We've had that too. But I'm talking about 40% of the people that call this place their home have not been here since June. What, because summer came around, because nice weather came around, all of a sudden church don't matter anymore? Don't have revelation of the local body. Don't have revelation of what God's trying to do. See, we can't get into all those things because half the body's off at picnics, half the body's off doing things that they want to do. It was a nice day. I just couldn't be there, Pastor. I know you understand. We tell that to Jesus when he's pointing at all the people that went to hell because you didn't do what you were called to do. Yeah, because there are people that die every single day and they're going to hell because you weren't serious about church. How do I know? Because there's parents in here, right? There's sisters, there's brothers, there's friends in here. You have friends, sisters, brothers, kids that aren't going to church today, that don't know Jesus. And I'm gonna tell you something that is very real. Those people, if they don't come to know the Lord before they leave this earth, I don't care how much you love them, still go to hell. This is serious, folks. It's not a joke. We don't do church. If you want church that is just some social organization that's never going to do anything, it's never going to convict you, fine. There's plenty of churches that will do that. Go find them. You're not going to be happy here because I ain't going to stop preaching the truth, and I'm not going to stop preaching boldly. You know, Jesus was preaching so boldly that most of the people left him, and he turned to the disciples, the only ones that were left, and he said, aren't you going to leave too? They said, where else would we go, Lord? I love that boldness. I'll tell you what. I want that same boldness. I want to believe. You know what? I was coming here today, and I was like, well, if we lost half the church last week, praise the Lord. Because if people are going to be offended, they're going to be offended. But sooner or later, people are going to either do, I can't say the saying that I was taught growing up. You know what I'm talking about. Praise the Lord. The saying I heard, not from my mom, praise God, but the saying that was common around. But you're either going to go or you're going to get off the pot. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. And that's the way it is. Christians, we have to understand God's got so much for us. He ain't trying to hold you back. When we go to church and it's a nice, beautiful day out, we're not sitting there thinking, you know what? It just sucks that we have to go to church today. Praise the Lord. Church is my life because it saved my life. If you had revelation of what God was doing, if you truly cared, hallelujah, then you would understand. You would understand that people are not going to get help unless you are serious about God. But every single time, Christians compromise because something else came up. Something else is better. Listen, you can't talk about God being good and constantly doing something else other than God. You are being a hypocrite of the utmost proportions. Hallelujah. God is good. He is good. But he needs his church to act like something other than a bunch of spoiled lilies that don't ever want to do anything. Sometimes you just got to do what you got to do, amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I say this again. If there's people in here that think we are in this for money, that we think we're in this for glory, that we're in this for anything else, then leave. Don't come here anymore because you're never going to get help being offended. That is stupid. And if you had any clue, have any clue of who we are or what we would do for you or what we have done for you, you would never even think such thoughts. Those are thoughts from the pit of hell. And people that have those thoughts, they have no idea what they're talking about. I gave up jobs, I gave up money, I gave up all kinds of time, I gave up everything. I gave up things with my family to be here and preach the word. And yet half or 40% of the church can't come because it's summertime. I'm sick of this stuff. I'm tired of this stuff. Praise the Lord. You know, we gotta think about something different. There's always a reason not. There's always going to be a reason not to do what God wants you to do. There's always going to be a reason not to do what God's called you to do. There's one reason, though, to continue doing it. I'm bending my Bible up. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Jesus. Hallelujah. Because he paid the price. He put it all down. He didn't care what it. He didn't care. He could have lived the life. He could have had all the things that he wanted to. He could have called on angels to deliver him anything. Praise the Lord. Anything he wanted, but he sacrificed it all for us. And how do we repay him? We repay him by not being, you know, but just by being casual about the things of God. It isn't a casual thing anymore. It isn't a casual thing. There are things, listen, we are at a place. We are at a place in this, the time in this earth that is so incredibly important. Look around you and see the people that you love. Think about, I want you to look around you, all of you today, think about this. Think about the people that you love that aren't here today that could care less about church. They will only come by your consecration and your dedication. That means they will not come when you're wishy-washy, when you could just take church or leave it, when you could just come and you don't have to. Well, praise God. I don't know why I'm on all this. Praise the Lord. But my wife was so much nicer than I was. Praise God. Hallelujah. Philippians 4. No, I'm not done reading all here yet because I had to get something to get to here. Yeah, we're still in Colossians. I'm flipping pages. See, you can't preach with your hands and hold the Bible at the same time. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Interpret this for me. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. How's your interpretation of that? Because my interpretation says to set your mind on things above and not of things of the earth. Yeah. Isn't that what it says? Well, that's your interpretation, though. See, fools. They're fools that say stuff like that. They have no idea. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. What does that mean? Things of God. He's not saying, look at the clouds. He's not saying, you know, like, listen, we can't be idiots either. He's not saying, like, look at the ceiling all day. He's saying, set your minds on things above. How do we know that? Because just before that, he was talking about where Christ is seated. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In this, in the meditation, in the things that we're talking about, this is what I'm trying to get over to you. This is where the peace that you need is found. This is where the help that you need is found. This is where all those things, all those doors that God has promised, all the promises of God are found in thinking right about God. Because if you don't think right about God, you won't act right about God. And if you don't act right about God, you can't walk those things out. Why do people still fall into sin? Christians still fall into sin? Because they don't meditate on the right things. When I make mistakes, it's because I haven't been meditating on the right things. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect. You understand that? I'm not saying, you know, you're all a bunch of lousy people and you never know what we're saying at all. We're just saying we're trying to pull people up higher. See, we preach the uncompromised word so people can go out and live a life that is pleasing to God and satisfying. If you have any understanding, the reason I preach the word every week is because I want to see people helped. I want to see you beat the addiction. I want to see you beat the thing that's been dragging you down. I want to see you drop the baggage that you carried for so long. I want to see you rise above where you never thought you could get to. This is what I care about. I want to see people who are helped. This is why we go to Corey. This is why we're going to go to other places when we're called to do that. This is why we do the Word of God. Hallelujah. We don't do it. And listen, I'm not just talking about us. I'm not saying we. I'm saying this is why we do this. This is why we congregate together, because we want to see God. We want to see His manifestation in our presence. We want to know God personally. Friday night, I preached a message about that, about how we can know God intimately, intimately. Like, I mean, touch Him, feel Him. Like, know that God is there. He will speak to you, like actually speak to you. I'm not speaking metaphorically. I'm talking about He will come upon you, and He will manifest, as Jesus said, I will manifest myself to you. This is what our God wants for us. If you weren't here, praise the Lord, just go back and listen to the archive. It's important to understand God wants a relationship with us. All of, if you go through Genesis to Revelation, the whole thing was about coming to us, getting to the place where God could manifest Himself to us, where He could come live on the inside of us. Today, Jesus Christ lives on the inside of you. The Holy Spirit walks around in your body. If you realize what a big thing that was, praise the Lord. It's so awesome. Turn with me to Philippians 4. Praise God, hallelujah. Now, if you're in the Bible, that's just one page back. Ain't that cool? Hallelujah. Philippians 4. And we're going to go to verse 4. And we'll read through 9. Now, many of you will recognize these scriptures, because when you've been going through something, if I've been aware of it, I've sent you these scriptures. Today, we're going to talk about these scriptures. The importance of it. I'm not just sending you something that sounds flowery so you can read it and think, oh, that makes me feel better. No, I'm giving you direction from God on how to get through life. We're talking about meditation, amen? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. That's the first step. Rejoice in the Lord always. When are we to rejoice in the Lord?
Always.
Always when? Always, always. Praise the Lord. You're going through it right now? Rejoice in the Lord. Pressure coming on you? Rejoice in the Lord. Don't know how you're going to get through to the next day? Rejoice in the Lord. Why? Well, you see, you can't do this unless you meditated on the right things. Unless you understood who God is and what He wants for you. What He wants to do for you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Why are those goofy Christians? Why are they always so happy? Or why are they always putting it on? Because they understand that you rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Ooh, praise God. Hallelujah. Be anxious for nothing. That's just what Jesus said when He said, worry about nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything. See, this is direction here. I'm going to try to break this down for you. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But with everything you're going through, everything you could face, everything that comes up, this is how you're going to act. By prayer and supplication With what? Thanksgiving. Why do we praise the Lord? Because it's Thanksgiving. Lord, how do you do this? Lord, I thank you that you sent me. There's something you would be thankful to God for. I don't care what you're going through. Lord, I thank you that you saved me. I don't have to go to hell. You start there. Lord, I thank you that last week, that you just blessed me with this thing. And last month, 2 years ago, Lord, I thank you that you did it. Lord, I thank you for my spouse. Lord, I thank you with thanksgiving. You come before God and you start declaring all the things he's done for you. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. When you start saying all the things that he's done for you, you're going to start feeling something different inside. What you're going to start feeling is, wait a minute, God doesn't hate me. He's against me. Yeah, he has met me here. He has met me in this place. He's been here before for me. He's lifted me up and he wants to do it again, glory to God. And so your attitude starts changing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Oh, glory. Let your requests be made known to God. In that place of prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. What's prayer and supplication? Prayer is asking God for things. Supplicating is coming to God on behalf of others. Praise the Lord. Or on behalf of something else. Hallelujah. This is what prayer and supplication is. And with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. This is what you do when you need something, when you're in the trial, when you're going through things. First, you have to think right. But then you go to God, and this is meditating. This is speaking those things out that you know. This is speaking the word out. This is why it's important to have the word in you. I found scripture, you know, one scripture, I can't remember, it's in Psalms again, but it said, you know, the Lord is good to all. He's good to all. There's nobody he's not good to. How do we know this? Well, because the Lord isn't smiting people just because they're living in absolute sin. He's good to everyone. People say, oh, God, how is God good? All this bad stuff happening. Look how God is good. All the good stuff that happens. Praise the Lord. The ability to increase wealth. Listen, the ability to increase wealth was not man's idea. That was God's idea. He put the principles on the earth to increase your wealth. That's why some people that tap into it, they increase wealth. Others who don't, listen, nobody's held back. There's nobody that's held back. There are things, especially not in this country. If you think you're held back in this country, you have absolutely no idea of what you actually have. There's nobody in this country that's held back. Praise the Lord. There's everybody. And furthermore, if you become a Christian, then there's nothing that can hold you back, so it doesn't matter anyways. So this is a country that was built on Christianity, and not saying everything they did was always great and wonderful. Praise the Lord. But it was built on the ideas of Scripture, and because of that, there is the ability in this country for you to tap into anything you need to. You might not get it from man. Man may put you down. Well, that's fine. But the Lord is God. Who am I going to fear? Yeah. Right? What man am I going to fear? I don't care if you're black, white, red, green, orange. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what color you are. The Bible said there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's no differences in God. There's neither male or female. He doesn't care about it. In God, there's no dividing lines. In God, there's only one body. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Be anxious for nothing with prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your quest be made known to God. Go to God and say. Now, when it's talking about this, it's talking about doing it in faith. It's not talking about just making your request known to God, thinking he may or may not answer. No, knowing the word. If you know the word, you know that he will answer. This is why he's instructing people here to make your request be known with thanksgiving, because you know that it will be answered. Getting into 1 John, it talks about that. 1 John... Maybe, I can't remember. 1 John, it's in 1 John, it talks about God answering all of our, giving us all the desires of our, all the prayers, everything we ask of him. Amen? Praise the Lord. 1 John isn't that big. If you want to go find it, go read it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let your gentleness be, I already read that. And at that point, after you do that, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God comes when we do things right. When we come to him with thanksgiving and we share with him all the truth that we know, praise the Lord, when we meditate on these things, when we speak these things out. Finally, brethren, and then it goes on to, and you say, well, how do I know that? Because the next two verses will tell us. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. There's that word again. So you pray, you put your request before God, and then whatever is good. You know, some things might be true, but it's not praiseworthy. You know what I mean? Yeah, it was true that, you know, that Hitler killed millions and millions of people. Not just Jews, but millions and millions of people. That's true. But if you meditate on that, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to have the peace of God. What you meditate on is God's goodness. Hallelujah. If you meditate on that, the fact that there's serial killers out there, then you focus on that stuff all the time, then you're going to constantly be in that state of mind. I'm going to give you a good example. Praise the Lord. I'm going to pick on my mom a little bit. When I was a teenager, and she had reason to be worried, I guess, praise the Lord. But when I was a teenager and when in my early 20s and stuff like that, every time I leave my mom, she would always say the same thing. She would always say, "Be careful going home. Watch for deer." But and really, what she was there was this sense in her of being fearful of the things that were out there. And I don't see her this as any kind of embarrassment to her. She knows where she came from, amen? And that's because she had been raised in that same place. And that's because they had been raised in that same place. And you could trace it back. So it's not, we're not picking on people, you understand. But she would always be fearful when she leaves. She's always afraid of something's going to happen. Why? Because that's what she meditated on. That's what she meditated. That's what she was taught to meditate on, and that's what she meditated on. But you know something? Since my mom has been serving God and coming to church, not just this church, but Family Church Jamestown first and then up here, but since she's been sold out to God and prayer and just she doesn't do that anymore. But she never says anything to me out of words. Like it never. She's never like, well, you know, you might get home or you might not, you know. And we just gotta, you know, you know what I'm saying. I'm not saying there may be moments or whatever, but for the most part, over her life, it's completely changed. It's completely different. She's not worried every time we go away. Now she should be worried about my brothers. There are a couple of heathens out. No, I'm just kidding. Praise the Lord. Praise the God. Glory to God. I'm just kidding. It was just a joke. Hallelujah. But you understand because she's a woman of prayer now. She understands that. She gets into prayer and the Lord speaks to her about things and shows her things. She didn't worry about things. Why? Because she follows the Lord now. See, you don't have to worry. You're being anxious for nothing. Meditate on the right things. This is what half of people's problems are. If you're worried about anything, if you're worried about being out of work, praise the Lord. You're meditating on the wrong things. You're not meditating on the God who supplies everything according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus, Philippians 4:19. Hallelujah. Meditating on that word. See, if you're worried about stuff like that, you meditate on the word. You want to know something really neat? Last night I was going to bed, and I had a hard time going to sleep last night. I was kind of stirred up. I didn't go to the Corey Church last night. I wasn't feeling well. And I just sensed that it was good that I stayed home and got some rest. Sometimes you got to do that. You know, when I've been in church services, four other church services this week, so it's not like I was neglecting the house of the Lord. Do you understand? You know, if you come to church once a month and then you go, well, I'm going to skip next month because I got to rest. No, you don't have to rest. You're missing the whole point to it. But I've been in church four other services this week, and I was going to preach today. Praise the Lord. And I'm not talking, you think I preach long. I was in 2.5-hour church services 3 nights in a row. I don't mean 2.5 hours over 3 nights. I mean 2.5 hours each night sitting on pews, glory to God. Thank God for these chairs. We're blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now, hallelujah. I keep you for an hour listening to me, and you're sitting on nice, cushy, soft chairs. Praise God. Hallelujah. Maybe we get pews in here and show you how much God really don't love you. Amen. You see, I'm telling you, he saved the best for last.
That's right.
Hallelujah. They didn't have all this synthetic stuff back in the 1800s. Yeah. Amen? Of course, they probably didn't also have 2.5-hour church service. No, yeah, maybe they did. Sometimes they didn't have AC and all this stuff. We're blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But anyway, I was sitting, I was at home, I was stirred up, and I couldn't go to sleep. And it was about midnight before I finally was deciding that I was going to try to go to sleep. And I had a thought, you know, right before I went to bed. You know, one of the things that the devil will do to a Christian, but especially to a pastor, is he always can convince you you're about to die. I'm telling you right now. You will. I mean, I have thoughts on a constantly, consistently. I have thoughts that come to me about how I'm going to die. I'm going to die of this. I'm going to die of that. My family's going to be without. The church is going to be without. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Will my wife continue? She better not get another man. All this stuff. You know what I mean? You know how the thoughts go. You know what I'm saying? But just before I was going to laying down, you know, I had been meditating in the Word. I had been reading the Word and going over and having the Lord speak to me on some things. And just before I was about to go to sleep, I got a really good point here. Just before I was about to go to sleep, that thought came to me. And the Lord reminded me of the scripture that says, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So I stayed up another half hour and I wrote a faith fix. Praise the Lord. Just like that. It just came out of me like that. So when you get to that one, when you get to the one about salvation, you'll know what, if you read it, you'll know what it's talking about. That's where it came from. But you know, see, here's the thing. I had been meditating in the Word. And so what happened was when the devil tried to rob me with a thought, it came to me. The Lord was able to remind me of Scripture. And that Scripture just came out of me so naturally. I didn't go to bed thinking I was going to die. I went to bed excited about living. Hallelujah. I went to bed excited about the next day and excited about coming to preach the Word and the message that God gave me and living my life, glory to God, and watching my kid, my daughter grow up and all that good stuff. Amen? You see, this is why it's important to be in the Word and to be familiar with the Word and to hear the Word. Amen? Praise God. Because then God can speak to us on things. And he can get things over to us what we need. Now I want to finish this out so I can go to the next scriptures. Verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and then the God of peace will be with you. Paul was talking about this. The things that we preach are out of the Pauline epistles. We are preaching these same things, the things that you learn, you receive, and you heard, and you see in me. These are the same things Paul was talking about. If you do those things, then the God of peace will be with you. You see, this is why people don't have peace, because they're not with the God of peace. They're not walking in peace because they don't see, they don't know God. You can't know God. Listen, if you live a life separate from the church, you can't know God. People out there that claim to know God all the time and they don't ever go to church, they don't know God. They have no God, because if you knew God, you would know that the most important thing to God was the local church. It's not the building. It's the gathering of the people. This is the most, today, this is the most precious thing to God right now. The most precious thing to God. Sister Annie Durant shared a story. I shared it on Friday. I'm going to share it again today. But it was a pastor that was in a service. And he had a guest minister in or something, and he started having a vision. He saw Jesus walking the aisles, and he saw people as they were worshiping. He saw Jesus walking the aisles, and there were some people that, you know, were really into worship, and there were some that were really distracted and look at ceiling tiles and all this other stuff, and they just weren't getting into it and all that stuff. And he was embarrassed because Jesus would stop and he would look at each one of them. And then all of a sudden, Jesus was before him, and he said, and the pastor started apologizing for some of the people that weren't doing right in church. And Jesus looked at him, and he said, I just love my church. See, he loves us no matter where we're at, but it means something to him when we're together. It means something to him when we come together and we're like getting one accord under the Word, and we hear the Word preach, and then he can move on us. And this is what means something to God. This is what Jesus died for. The first thing he did was he gave us pastors. Pastors are found in the local church. The first thing he did. If you're not connected to your pastor, you haven't understood what the Word of God, what Jesus did. He said he looked on the people and he was sorrowful because they were like sheep having no shepherd. They were scattered and astray. They were all over the place. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to meditate on the Word. They had no one bringing them together. That's what the shepherd's job is to bring people together under the Word and preach the Word so that they could go out there and thrive. Yeah. That's what God wants you to thrive. And see, listen to the thing. People spend more time trying to thrive, and if they would just do what God has said to do, they would thrive. They would never worry about it. They could be focused on, see, that's the way God works. Isn't he good? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 19. We're going to go back to the Psalms. Psalm 19. And I'm really trying to get through this. I'm hoping I can. Praise the Lord. By faith, you guys got to help me get there. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Psalm 19. We're going to read verse 7 through 14. God loves us. Listen, you know, here's the thing, and it dawned on me. God, you know, people get, offense comes to all men. I get offended, you get offended, we all get offended, so don't try to say you don't. But offense comes to all people. And offense always comes, the devil always brings offense when it's concerning the word. When the pastor preaches a word and it's strong and it's bold and it's stepping all over your toes and, you know, there's this idea that goes through your mind of, I just don't like that, that. You know that feeling. You all know that feeling, praise the Lord. Sometimes I can see it on you, praise the Lord. You know, and that's the thing to remember, I can see all, you better smile at me, because at least then you know that I believe that you're hearing me. But the offense comes to everybody. But it always comes against the things that God has given us to promote us and to prosper us. You know what I mean? Like when we talk about the tithe, that's the way God has given us to become rich. Physically, like naturally rich. That's the way God's given it. Yet people, they balk at it. They get mad at it because it's calling them to do something. But see, God has never, you'll never find in Scripture where God has ever called somebody to do something or was never given somebody something without calling them to do something first, because they have to prove their faithfulness. He's already faithful. He's already done it all. He's proven that. But we have to prove our part of it. Amen? And so, the Bible instructs us not to cast our pearls to swine. That's why if somebody rejects the word, Jesus said to wipe off your feet and just kick the dust off your feet and walk away. Yeah, if somebody just won't listen to you, that's what he said. The same Jesus that loves, the same Jesus that, we see with all the sheep, the same pictures of Jesus smiling and happy with the sheep and hugging the little kids and stuff like that. You know, all those Bible pictures you've seen over the years? Yeah, that same Jesus said to kick the dirt off your feet when they won't listen.
Yeah.
Yeah, hallelujah. Kick your feet, dirt off your feet. Say, it's not even worth it. Walk out of the town and let it burn. Yeah, glory to God. Oh, praise the Lord. But people will balk at the things that God's given them, and we preach the things, and it'll be a hard thing. God gave us a local church for us to prosper in all areas of life. All areas. I'm not talking financially, just financially. I'm talking about in all areas. You want your marriage to prosper? I'll tell you what, if a husband and wife come to church, they serve God, they listen to God, and they love the Lord, and they do the word, I'm going to tell you what, you'll have a marriage of heaven on earth. My wife and I, our marriage isn't so wonderful because we just got blessed specially. We did get blessed, and it was special because it was from God for each one of us. But God wants that for every single person in here. He wants you to have a good marriage, a happy marriage that's blessed, serving the Lord, getting all the things that you... My wife and I just love spending time with each other. God wants that. If you want that, God wants that for you. See, this is the thing, but God, there's a way to do it. It ain't going to happen by being out disconnected from what God's doing. The power of God doesn't flow out there if you haven't noticed. See, and that's another problem. When the church tells us that God's will happens just everywhere, then people are sitting there wondering, well, why didn't God stop this? Why didn't God stop this? Why didn't God? See, this is why the hypocrisy of religion always takes away from the truth of it. Yeah. And the devil doesn't mind hypocrisy coming into the church. He doesn't mind people coming to church because he'll speak to him. God, the devil shows up more faithfully to church than a lot of Christians do. Yeah, he'll sit there and be in pews and tell people all the time that, God, the Lord gives and takes away, and God wants bad things, all this stuff, you know what I mean? This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Oh, praise the Lord. Psalm 19:7, you found it?
Yep.
We're going to read through verse 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The soul, again, as we know through Scripture, the soul is the mind. There's a difference between the soul and the spirit. The Bible talks about both. Your body, soul, and spirit, the Bible tells us. Body, soul, and spirit. If soul and spirit were the same thing, then he wouldn't use it. He wouldn't use it repetitively like that. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul, converting the mind. The law of God is the word of God. It's perfect. It is not subject to interpretation. It is not subject to your thoughts or your feelings or a good day or a bad day. The word of word of God is the word of God. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
Amen.
The Spirit will guide you. Amen. Yeah. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It's the Bible, meditating on the word, that will change your mind.
Yeah.
Amen. The testimony of the Lord, which is the word of God, is sure, making wise the simple. Amen. I'm the simple. And the Lord has made me wise in him. Hallelujah. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Do you know, I'll be reading in the Word. And this was happening to me last night. I'd get in the Word, and I was reading it, and all of a sudden I was just like, wow, I've never seen that before, even scriptures I've read. And so I turn to another scripture, and I'm like, wow, there's more. God will speak to you through his word. You'll be looking at his word, and one thing right after another will be coming, just popping out at you, and you'll be like, dear Jesus, this is so good. And if people could only understand this, and Lord, how do I get people to understand this? This is our God. It's a living word. This isn't dead, archaic religion. This is a living word of God. Every time I open this, the Lord speaks specific things to me. He shows me things in his word that I've never seen before. Praise God. Praise the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. You remember, the fear is the reverence of the Lord. It doesn't mean to be afraid of him. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. The directions of God, the judgments of God, the word of God. More, it's better to desire this than actual gold. Praise the Lord. That's not just like a metaphor saying that, it's pretty good. No, he's saying actually. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them, there is great reward. Look at that. By keeping his judgments, by keeping his commandments, his laws, his word. I'm not talking about following the law. It means to listen to what the word is saying and do what the word is saying. God, Jesus didn't say that there's no more law. He said he fulfilled the law. Yeah. Praise the Lord. And he was talking about that law, but not the whole law. The whole word of the Lord is for us. Amen. Yeah. Keeping them, there is great reward. Everybody say great reward. Great. Is there anybody I want great reward? Yeah. Is there anybody who wants this okay reward? Is there anybody who's okay with just a little reward? I want great reward. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you went to your job and your boss said, you know, you make $20 an hour, which I know is a good amount. But you make $20 an hour, we're going to give you $30 an hour. Would you say, nah? No. Anybody would say that? Go ahead, raise your hand. We'll stone you. Because you're a liar. Hallelujah. There ain't nobody that would sit there and say, but see, this is what the Lord has for us. The Lord will, he wants great reward for his people. You notice how many times we go to different scriptures that talk about how God wants to bless or God wants to do. Right here is just another one. Take mental note of this. So the next time somebody says, well, God wants to remove from you, well, God said that by keeping his word, there's great reward. So how does that equate to removing from you? How does that equate to taking things from you? It doesn't, does it? Praise the Lord. See, that's what I mean. People say, well, that's your interpretation. No, I just read the scripture. I just read the word. If you read the word, you could see the same thing. Amen? Praise the Lord. People who say that, they never get into the word. They don't go to church. They don't understand what God is talking about. Praise the Lord. Who can understand his errors? It's talking about a person's errors, not God's. Cleanse me from secret faults. You all know you got secret faults. There's things you don't share with anybody, things you'd be ashamed of to even share with your spouse sometimes. Praise the Lord. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous, that's proud or arrogant sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. Now look at this verse right here, 14, considering what we just read. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. A redeemer is, well, you know when you redeem something, it's like if we were redeemed, set free. Praise the Lord, the ransom was paid. Our debt was paid. That's being redeemed. He's your strength and your redeemer. Let our words and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in the sight of God. That's what it's saying, the importance of what we think on, what we talk, what we do, what we say. All these things matter for increasing our life to that place of great reward. Amen? Amen. God isn't holding back. He's trying to get it to us. Amen? Praise the Lord. And we're getting close, real close here. Romans, I'm going to, well, if you can find it quick, go there. Romans 12, verse 1. Praise the Lord. And when I mean quick, I mean by quicker than I can. Praise the Lord. If you get there first, praise the Lord, just wait for me. Romans 12, 1. We're going to read 12, 1 and 2. Look at this. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable to sacrifice yourself, your ways, your life. It's reasonable to do that for God because of what he did for you. It's reasonable. Amen? Praise the Lord. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That you, praise the Lord, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world and the thoughts of this world and the way that this world does things, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you renew your mind? You renew it in the Word. Amen. I'm going to close with this scripture right here. Psalm 119, 18. Praise God. Hallelujah. Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. Praise the Lord. Go to God and say, Lord, open my eyes so I can see the wondrous things in your word. Show me the truth. Show me your direction. Show me what you have. Listen, don't be sad. If you come into church today and your toes got stepped on, glory to God. Don't be sad about that. Just endeavor to do the word of God. But I'm going to tell you this. If your toes get stepped on and you don't change it, your toes ain't never going to get stepped on coming. So don't expect it to start. You decide either change it or to deal with your toes being stepped on or to go somewhere else. But God is doing things here because he wants to help us. He wants to change us. He wants to lift us up. He wants to put us over. He wants to make us the head, not the tail. He wants to put us above, not beneath. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God has got good things for us. He wants us to walk into it, but we will only do it if we choose to. Amen. David, King David spoke that. David and others spoke the word of God, and it became living. When they spoke the word, when they were spoke inspired of God, these prophets and the apostles and all these people in the Bible, when they spoke the word of God, it became living, praise the Lord. They spoke the word and they prospered. Are you going to do the same thing? Praise God.